Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
South African band Free Machine are a new rock collective born out of passion. Harking back to the iconic sounds of the 90s, Free Machine brings together two sets of friends, each member an ex-musician with roots firmly planted in the MTV era of grunge and rock. With influences ranging from Soundgarden to Alice in Chains and Pearl Jam, this project is less about a career comeback and more about a shared love for the music that defined a generation. Free Machine is Glenn Bradford on vocals, Clint Jurgens on guitar, Brian Nickel on drums, and Brendan Haupt on bass. Free Machine released their debut EP, Dead Echoes, in 2024. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Glenn Bradford from Free Machine. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
All right, Barrett. Yes, thanks for having me. So I'm based here in Cape Town, South Africa.
Tell us, where and how does the name Free Machine come from?
So that's a good question, Barrett. Clint, the instigator of this whole project, he came up with the name. And I guess it resonates with us all, the name Free and Machine. It's got a bit of a contradiction there. Machine being something that we are enslaved to, but in the other sense, free as well at the same time to have our creative processes. So Free Machine, it's got a double barrel thing. It's also linked to that 90s kind of vibe where it was two names like Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Free Machine. It has that ring to it. Okay.
Your journey specifically, at what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you feel cool, you want to be in the music creative world? How did you meet the guys from Free Machine? How did the band come together? Tell us your journey and then the band's journey.
Okay. So I've had quite a lengthy music career. I started off in my bedroom playing a big ruler in front of the mirror as a guitarist. And then started playing in bands when I was 12, 13 years old. With guitar and then moving over to vocals. Eventually, I got rid of the guitar and started singing more so with bands. So I've been in quite a few bands over the years and led up to this point here where this is the first band that I've been in, but we've never actually all played in the same room. So we met each other online almost 2 years ago when the project started through Facebook. There was an advert that went out from Clint, the guitarist, and he wanted to write music in the vein of 90s grunge. So I sent a message that says, I'd be keen to do some singing. So sent him some demos and whatnot. And that was the same with the bassist as well, Brendan. And then obviously Clint and Brian, they were friends at the time. So Brian, the drummer. So then that's how the project came together. And that was 2 years ago. It's been all pretty much remote. We've only met each other in person once in the whole 2 years. Other than that, The project's just all come together remotely.
So where are the other guys based?
So luckily, we're not too far away, although it is far in terms of living in Cape Town. If you don't want to travel 45 minutes, and then it's far for a Cape Townian. Everyone lives in Cape Town.
Oh, okay.
But all scattered around and obviously very busy. Everyone's got their own lives to live and kids and whatnot. And so it was convenient for us to make this project a remote thing because to try and get spare time in busy lives, it's quite difficult. So the spare time you have, you want to quickly just get on the computer and chat or on the WhatsApp, on the go. So it worked out pretty well in that sense.
So obviously you've just released your debut releases. What's coming up in the near future?
Yeah, so we've just released that 6-track EP, which obviously took us the 2 years to make. it took us a full year to just write the demos, back and forth and whatnot. It was a lengthy process, but it was a good process because, we had to get the stuff right before we did the recording. But going forward, we're gonna maybe make the timelines a little bit shorter and maybe just release singles when we've given this EP a bit of legs. We've only just released the first single. So after the others are released, then we'll continue to write singles and just put them into like banded packs online as an EP as they eventually get released. So that's the best thing to do. And I think it's a good way to work like that as well, because you can really craft one song and really work quite hard on it and get it sounding good and what you think should be the best thing that you can do with it, rather than trying to, spread it out over an album and create something that's 12 tracks, but none of them are great. So I think that's the best way, yeah.
So you referenced the up and down WhatsApp, the Zoom call. So how did the creative process work? Did each of you go away for a song, do your bits and bobs, then meet online or on the phone? What was the process for the creation?
Clint, the guitarist, he had the initial kind of skeletons of the songs. He had the basic song structure and the guitars and that. And then he worked with Brian, the drummer. Brian also, he had to base his feel of how the drumming would go on what Clint would give him. Like he would say, okay, maybe this is the vocally and and from a bass point of view, this is where the song's gonna take you. So you need to also embellish those drums to also have that feel. So it was quite difficult, I guess, in that for those guys to get that right, because they were the first things that were tracked. It was the guitar, and then the drums on that. So then those were passed over remotely, just drum and guitar. And then I would listen to it, and Clint would then give me, he would like hum melodies to me and then send vocal lyrics over. And then I would try and interpret what his humming was, because he's a terrible hummer. He can't hum in tune or sing. So that was a challenge. And then try and interpret that with his lyrics. So he wrote all the lyrics, and then I would send it back to him and say, okay, what do you think to this? And then, what do you think to these harmonies? And what do you think to this overlap and whatnot? And he'd say yes or no. So that was going back and forth all the time. So we were happy with it. And they say, okay, cool, let's keep that. And then that was the same with the bass. The bass would work with the drums and the guitar. He wouldn't have any vocals. So he would also have to try and feel based on what Clint would, he would guide the bassist where the song needs to go. And that's how it was for a year to write the demos. So we got them all down. Once we were happy, then we said, okay, fine, then we'll track the stuff. So it was very long, but it was a great process, a great process in terms of development and growing and really excelling in this craft that we're all trying to put together.
So, no, I recognize that you guys were busy and that you wanted to be, it remote worked for you guys for based on all of your personal lives and what was happening. Do you not perhaps feel that if you did it in person, it would have taken quicker?
It's a good question, but I guess I don't know. It might have not. I really liked the way this process went, to be
Okay.
honest. I think it actually inspired us more to make a good piece of work, rather than sitting in a room and maybe arguing or something, like with guys. You maybe didn't get on with the guys or whatever. It was almost like a project, but we bonded remotely, and
Okay.
I think it made it special in that way. Yeah.
Obviously, each of you have your passions for it, but what beyond that was the reason for the motivation to invigorate or reinvigorate the sound of 90s grunge?
I know Clint, he wanted to do that. His background was based on 90s music, but he'd been writing stuff more heavier, more on the like metal kind of line. I've played in other different genres as well. I've sung in metal bands, I've sung in country bands, I've sung in rock bands and whatnot. And I've never sung grunge either. And it was just so happened that I was learning a singing technique as well to try and get my range a bit broader. And I was listening to guys like Chris Cornell and guys from the 90s and Richie Kotzen and guys like that. So I thought, it was just good timing that this project came along, because then I thought, maybe I can give this a bash as well and see how it's going to sound. And then the bassist, Brendan, he's also a 90s kid, and it was something exciting for him as well. Never played this 90s grunge before. And Brian as well, like he's also got more heavier background. So it was great, a great project. Be something to work towards and try and craft and get it sounding as close as we could to that 90s era.
You referenced that you've been in a bunch of different types of bands, genres-wise, metal, grunge, country. Now, singing in those different types of genres, is it very different? Or if you have a foundation, it will allow you to slip into that genre easier? Or is it a whole learning curve when you're diving into a different genre?
You would have thought that you would be able to adapt to the genre, but no. For me, it was quite a challenge. So I used to sing in metal, and I wasn't a great singer back then. More like metal in the lines of like Metallica and Megadeth, with the more cleaner but gruffier voice. That was much younger, and then singing in a rock band where it was a lot of also more rough voice, but my voice would get trashed every show. I wasn't using my voice properly. Country as well, different, not as heavy, a little bit more twangy, I guess. But the genre now with this 90s, we wanted to sound like the big five in grunge, the Alice in Chains, the Soundgarden, and now all those guys like Layne Staley and Chris Cornell and Eddie Vedder, and you name it, they've got really good ranges. So now I needed to actually go and sit and practice the stuff to try and hit those notes, because I've never hit them before. And it's a totally different technique, where you're using not just your diaphragm, using your head voice and all this. So it was actually a good thing that we did the demos first, because it gave me an opportunity to try and get better at the singing before we actually went to track. So yeah, and it was great that I managed to hopefully achieve what I did on the record.
So now, in learning this new style, in the sense that the ranges and the diaphragm and your head voice for grunge, would it potentially mean that you will not, after a live show, have a trashed voice anymore because you know how to use it better in a sense?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can sing now that quite a high range without being loud and without
Okay.
wrecking my voice. But
Yes.
it's loud, but
Yeah.
it's not coming out loud. You're not belting it. Yeah, that's something that I've worked on for over a year now, and it's managed to really improve me vocally. So I'm really chuffed about that as well. Yeah.
Okay, so I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 10 years, 5 hours, I know your answer will be different every time simply because there are millions of them. I'm not saying favorite, I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to five songs by other artists once you finish this conversation, what would those five songs be and by whom? If you can't think of specific songs, then just five artists.
Okay, Holy Wars, Megadeth, Aces High, Iron Maiden, Angry Chair, Alice in Chains, Damaged by the Winery Dogs, and I've Been Away Too Long, Soundgarden. They just popped into my head.
You referenced the EPs and the releases of the song. So I'm not sure if you guys are aware. So I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. So in South Africa, it's a bit different to the rest of the world because obviously there aren't really shops to buy them. But CDs, vinyls, and cassettes are a massive comeback overseas. In the UK last year alone, 5.9 million vinyls sold, the biggest since 1990. CDs as well. So in the UK, there's a basket of goods where they gauge the exchanges of these goods between consumer and so forth. And based on the exchanges, they monitor for tax purposes. And because of the upsurge of CDs again, that product is back in that basket. And the research is showing that it's the younger kids, the teenagers, the early, late teens that are diving into this world, not the older nostalgic people. And then we've also got these streaming platforms that people consume music on. What are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
So from what I've observed, yes, I'm in agreement with you. I know that the vinyls come back in a big way. And I believe CDs come back in a big way. I'm so glad I've still got my CD and vinyl collection.
Yeah.
And also the cassette as well. I see a lot of guys posting that they've got old cassettes, listening to them again and whatnot. So, yeah, I think we'll see a surge of not only vinyl players, but probably going to get some old school tape decks coming back as well into technology, because folks are bored with their phones and that. And I think it'll give people an opportunity to really sit to like we used to do in the 90s. You sit in your bedroom and you put a tape on or a CD or whatever, and you lie down and you listen to it, and not just on the go and listen to 20 seconds of a tune and
yes,
skip it or whatnot. Yeah. So people might start appreciating music again like we used to with these types of platforms.
Yes, absolutely. It becomes a whole experience, you know, loving the, you know, the choice, the unpacking, the booklet. It becomes a whole journey and experience, absolutely. Glenn, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
I'd like to say to everyone out there, just, honestly, take the time when you can out of your busy days and really listen to some music that you like and just get that love and passion again for, you know, opening up your mind and listening to music, really listening to it. It's a beautiful thing. Music really does save. It really heals, and it can make you happy, and it can take you away from things that are not going too well for you. So, yeah, appreciate music. Have an appreciation day at least once a month or something.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.